Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to Good Moms, Bad Choices.
I'm Erica.
And I'm Mila.
Happy Wednesday.
Happy hump day, my love. How are you?
I'm good. I'm warm. I got my Skims on.
Oh, well, yeah. You look very snatched.
I decided I want to be like a cat woman today. If you guys are watching on YouTube, check out my outfit. You also see I got my new Good Moms merch on.
I also have my new Good Moms merch on. It's our holiday drop. It's our baseball jersey. We designed it ourselves, like everything that we drop. And it's really cute. I got my little cleavage out. Come to YouTube and check it out. Yeah, if you guys don't know, we have like really beautiful merch that we sell on our website. Ah, we have a website.
I know, crazy.
We design us.
We do, and it's really high quality. We just really take the time to create things that we would want to wear and not just
slap our logo on shit and sell it.
Yeah. So make sure you check out our website. It's in this episode description, goodmomsbadchoices.com/shop. To check out the merch, lots of goodies for the holidays, lots of great gifts for moms. We have our Good Moms Love Flowers crew neck bestseller.
We have some stuff for the kids too, so make sure you check out the merch we have for the kids. We have our Good Kids necklace and our Bad Choices necklace. It's really high quality gold. You know, we love gold.
We do.
So this holiday season, match with your kids and be cute. Also, you guys, if you are watching this episode, we are in a new space. And guess what? It's ours.
It's ours.
It's not Erica's mom's.
I don't even think they knew it was Erica's mom's.
Okay, well, they know now. Now we have our own space.
Yeah, we were recording for many, I don't know, maybe a year and a half, 2 years in the Beauty Blender's office.
An office and Beauty Blender's.
We were having to move everything in and out of the room every fucking time. And now we don't have to move shit.
Because we bought this couch.
This is Good Good Media. So if you are in the LA area and want to record a podcast, want to record voiceover, a little photo shoot, just looking for a space, then make sure you go follow our Instagram at good_good_media. And that's also in this episode description because we are podcast experts, ho.
We are podcast experts, and we are offering our expertise alongside our high production quality, alongside our personal videographer / photographer who shoots all of our bomb-ass shit, and he, too, can shoot your shit. You can even create a clip. You can have a headshot. I will personally write you a bio. Whatever you need, we got it. So check out Good Good Media. Goddamn. Good Good Media, goddamn.
That's going to be the commercial.
So good it makes you want to slap your mama. How are you?
I'm good.
Same. We have a special guest today. I know YouTube, you hate when we ignore our guests, but guess what? Bitches, we're a podcast, so this is the runner show. But we have a very special guest today. I'm very excited to have our dear friend and love and marriage Black therapist, Mac Stanley, the Mac, the therapist, and co-host of My Man's podcast, Menage Mind, here with us today.
Thank you so much for joining us on the show. I'm really excited to have you this month.
So am I.
This month, we're really trying to dive into the power of different things. Vulnerability, we had Jemele Hill on last week. This week, we're talking about therapy.
Yay, my favorite word.
We love therapy, if you guys didn't know.
We do. I mean, I was thinking about therapy the other day because I was like, when did my entry into therapy was actually in high school. And I didn't realize I was going. I mean, I kind of knew I was going to therapy, but like I was going to therapy to really get out of class. But when I went to, when I went to high school, like, you know, you have to meet with the counselor, at least in my school, you have to meet with the counselor, all the students meet with the counselor. And I told her that my parents weren't together and that, like, I really didn't, like, know my dad. And at that point in my life, anytime I would talk about my dad, I would cry. And it probably, that's probably what happened. I probably cried like day one of school about my dad. And so they developed these, like, I don't even know how many different groups they had, but they had a group specifically for parent, for children whose parents were either going through divorce or were no longer together. And so when I found out I was part of this group, I was like, that's weird. But also I get out of class once a week for an hour.
So why not?
To go talk in the church. I remember in some sort of weird, like, nun chapel or something. But it was actually really, it ended up being really healing and helpful for me to just kind of talk it out. And I did it actually all 4 years of high school.
You're like, I'm going to get out of class, goddamn.
I was like, my parents are still not together. So that was actually my entry into therapy. So maybe that's why, I guess traditional therapy never really, I was never scared of it. I know a lot of people are like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I know Jamila, like, kind of resisted for a while, for a long while. No?
You think so?
Yeah.
I just, you know what? I didn't really resist, more so that I thought that, like...
No, you literally would say, I don't know, I'm really reasonable. Like, I know how to, like, I'm like, I know when I'm fucking up.
My, my
purposely, if I may add.
Huh?
You would purposely fuck up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, not in purposely. I would just, like, I knew I was fucking up. But also, like, I knew there was issues, but I was just like, I'm going to get to them when it's time. I was doing shit with the knowledge that I could be doing better things and that I was probably doing because there was some other deeper roots. Mm-hmm. But at the time, I wasn't really ready to address those roots. So I was like, when I'm ready to move up out of this, I will.
Yeah.
But my first encounter with, like, professional real therapy was in my relationship with my baby daddy. I was just like, willing to try anything, all things, and really I just wanted someone to tell him that he was wrong.
I get that a lot, believe it or not.
I mean, and I was right. Like, I should have been a therapist. If I had the wherewithal to go to school very long, I could have done it, because the one time I got a solo session, I was like, she was like, you're right. Everything you said is right. I was like, I know it. Okay. I'm going to move on now. And that's what happened. But now, because Erica did tell me over and over and over and over again, like, I think you probably should call the therapist now. I finally broke down and I did call the therapist, and I was supposed to go for a year straight. That was my plan. I think I made it like 8 months.
Okay.
It's consistently. I need to call her again, but we've been moving around a lot, and also I feel like it helped tremendously. And then I went for 8 months, and then when I got a relationship with Orlando, he was like, do you want to get married? I was like, I do, but you have to go to therapy consistently for a year in order for that to be an option. And then he resisted, but then he went. So I believe in therapy, talk therapy. But also, I also believe in alternative methods of therapy, like doing mushrooms and Molly and
yoga,
streaming, going retreats, going out into
nature
and, like, being naked and doing cartwheels. Those are also forms of therapy for me.
Yeah.
Also LSD.
Mac, how did you get into therapy, or, like, what was your experience in therapy? Were you, did you go to therapy as a young man, or as
I actually did not go to therapy until I became a therapist. Because I have this theory that most therapists go into this field looking to find certain things about themselves that they need to address, right? So for me, I like to say therapy chose me, because I never was planning on being a therapist. I just like psychology, and I kept on following that until one day I was like, oh, you're a therapist. Like, oh, so what now? What do I do? Because the whole time I was trying to get an understanding of women. That's why psychology was so intriguing to me. Why do we act the way that we do? What do women think about? What's the best way to approach them? No? All of high school and college, I was trying to.
Were you trying to get hoes? Were you trying to get hoes, Mac?
I wasn't trying to say that. Bitches.
He became a therapist.
I wasn't trying to say that.
Wow, this is a very expensive ploy.
But then I met my girl early on at the age of 20, and we've been together for like 10 years. So technically, I didn't get to really live on my prime.
Wait, how old are you?
I'm 30.
Oh, why are you a baby?
31. Yes.
When's your birthday?
August 10th. Wow. I'm Malia.
Yeah.
We're the best.
So you've been with your wife for 10 years?
10 years. 10 years strong.
So you just said you'd feel like you didn't get to live out your prime.
Meaning, you know, as young men, like, we have this idea
so you're
that... At a young age, you want to just go around and date and et cetera. But for me, I met her, I fell for her, but I sucked at relationships. I didn't know how to communicate. I didn't know how to be vulnerable. I wasn't being honest. I never learned how to be in a relationship. So I went around me, and I'm talking to my mentors, all the men around me. Yo, how do I fix this? What's the knowledge? No one had it. Nobody. So I said, okay, cool. I'm going to go find it.
Is that what made you venture into couples therapy specifically? Because you needed the tools in your own relationship?
I needed to fix my relationship. So I went to look for the answers. Mm. And now I get to provide it to everybody else.
Well, that's a good method. I mean, I think men have such a difficult time being vulnerable and just accessing accessing their emotions to, like, verbalize it. I mean, I share in this sometimes. I can communicate, but sometimes I don't want to, so I get it. But men really just, like, don't have any space for it. And I find that even in their close friends, mm-hmm. like you said, you asked around and yes. No one had the answers. I feel like men don't ask, and then, like, they don't have friends, don't feel comfortable to check other men, like, you're fucking up, or this is what I did. Like, what do you think that's about?
I disagree with that, though.
What the fuck is wrong with niggas?
I disagree. Because I do think that us men, like, will go to each other and we'll talk about certain things. It's just that the answers we're looking for, like, we're not getting them in the traditional way. Right? You would see men like, all right, I'm taking you out because I noticed that your mood is down. But I'm not going to say that you might be going through a depressive state or anything like that. But I'll engage in activities that can help you increase your mood. And in terms of relationships, I do think that men do a very poor job of holding each other accountable, but that's because of guy code, right? Like, they could do some dirt and we're aware of it, but due to this concept of guy code, I'm going to just tell you, just do not get caught, right? Versus saying, bro, you should not be doing this or et cetera.
What are guy codes? I mean, besides that, like, I'm curious to know, because I mean, I think women know a few of them, but, like, what are actual guy codes, and what is the reason behind them? Is it because you just don't want to look like a bitch ass nigga? Like, is that what it is? Like, you want to look like you're not supposed to get another man's business?
That too. I think it's a social construct that was created by men for men to protect each other. The whole dating game was never created for women to succeed. Hence why men have always been the oppressor, the aggressor, right? So I think that social construct was also developed to ensure that certain things can happen, but if it happens between us, it's okay. For a long time in society, men were allowed to do whatever they wanted because women didn't have the financial capabilities that they do now. So it was accepted because I needed my husband to sign for a car. I needed my husband to go to the doctor's office. But nowadays that has changed. So the field is more level now. And I would say that some of us, like, we do a very great job of holding each other accountable now. Conversations around me are changing. If I'm somewhere, the toxic convo is not taking place. I will label it. I'll call it out. I don't care how you feel about it. But we're going to address it in a loving manner. So the tide, to some degree, is changing.
Do you think that that's because of the people, like the company that you keep, or is that just an everyday conversation with, like, men that you meet out and about?
I think the tag therapist nowadays earns me a certain respect and allows me to be comfortable to challenge certain things that are being stated, like in the locker rooms. Now you can't do that. Now you can't say that. I walk into a barbershop. Oh, man, the therapist is here. Yo, I need help, right? Wherever we go now, there's more men seeking assistance because, for one, they know that, oh, I can actually do better. And since there's more black male therapists, they can understand me and they can see me for who I really am. So the biggest issue to black men going to therapy is the lack of therapists available. There's only 4% of therapists that are black, only 1% that are black male, right? So we cannot meet the demand as of yet. Mm.
Do you think that that's because, well, I mean, I guess just this the taboo around therapy in general. So like most black men are not going to go into that field. Like there's like, why would I go into a field that I don't even want to participate in?
I agree 100%.
Because, right. Like, I've had different men approach me or ask me, like, do you know black therapists? And I know black female therapists. Even those are hard to come by as well. But a black male therapist, like, I think I found one and he was really old. Like, I had no real resources to give.
And also, like, it has been said that the therapeutic field don't pay. So a lot of men that are growing up and hearing that, based on societal conditioning, a man is supposed to be the earner. So why would I enter a field where I'm told we don't make money, right? We're making $50,000 a year or et cetera. I'm here to tell you that's not true.
I was going to say, because the therapist
that be caking. That is not true.
First of all, okay? I did my numbers and my therapist asked, your therapist be caking.
Okay? I know. Per hour? I mean, yeah.
It's changing now. And that might be due to the demand of therapy and the representation of it as well. And also, like, therapy is needed.
I feel like men don't go to therapy because they just have, like, bigger egos and they generally think that they can solve their own problems or that they have none. And they're, like, just, like, a little bit less likely to be like, I'm going to do the shadow work and go back to my childhood. It's not, like, first on their list. How do you even deal with that? Like, just the belief that they don't need it. Like, I don't need that shit. I'm good.
Yeah, very curious about that.
I get that all the time.
Very curious about that.
The wife calls me, hey, we need couples therapy, but he doesn't want to show up. What do I do? Get him in for the first session. Then as the therapist, it is my job to engage everybody that's in front of me. By session 5, 90% of males are crying in session. That's a fact. It's the first time they get a space where they could really express themselves, how they really feel. Also gain the language, the vocabulary to say, I'm feeling blank. That's where most men get stuck. I feel blank. Now you bring out the feeling chart. Hey, brother, how do you really feel? And they're seeing their feelings in word for the first time ever. Because men are comfortable with 3 emotions. Anger, sadness, and happiness. Women have millions of emotions. That's why a man will only listen for 2.5 seconds before moving to problem solving. Because if you're complaining about something, an emotion that I'm uncomfortable with, my mind directly goes, okay, how can I solve this as quickly as possible so I don't have to sit and that discomfort that I'm experiencing now. So by session 5, we're having the uncomfortable conversations that most couples tend to avoid. The man is voicing how he really feels. And I'm also coaching the partner on how to properly respond to a man expressing themselves. That's the missing piece.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I know that I fail at that all the time. I've been single for 5 years. I have mostly dealt with women and the way that we communicate. So then having a man enter my space and having to communicate with him in another way, it feels like pulling teeth. And I was having this conversation with my trainer. This sounds so Hollywood. My trainer. Shout out to Six Pack City. I love that man. And he's kind of like he's not a therapist, but he would be coaching. Most of his clients are women, and he's super intelligent. He's coaching us. And I was telling him about a situation I was having with my partner. And he was saying, you know, a lot of times women fuck up because they don't realize that how they can disarm men. They can disarm you. You can disarm us with your sensuality and your sexuality, but you always go to aggression. You always go to, you're not doing this, 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 and this. And instead, it's like, if you basically prop your man up, make them feel like a king, tell them all the things they're doing right more consistently than that they're doing wrong, that when they actually do something wrong, you really don't have to do much to make them understand. Yes. It's really a matter of just saying, like, that really disappointed me.
Yeah.
And that would be like crushing for them because you've done so much to make them feel like on this, I guess, essentially on this pedestal. Whereas women, a lot of times are like, you didn't do this. You didn't take out the trash. You didn't do this. And they're like, well, shit, I'm already not doing all this shit anyway. I might as well just keep doing what I'm not doing.
Yeah. A lot of men feel invisible in their relationships. It's like they're not seen. What they do is not being recognized nor celebrated. And you said a key term, God.
I was just telling you to breathe, to pull back a little bit.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a ratio of 5 to 1. For every negative thing you say or do in a relationship, you need 5 positive things just to counter that one thing. Mm. Right? So our brain's job is to remember what hurt us so it can protect us. In a relationship, our brain does a very good job of noticing everything that our partner do wrong.
Keeping the score.
Exactly. So now we need to retrain ourselves to also focus on what are the positive things that they're actually doing and labeling that more on a 5-to-1 ratio at all times. So think of your relationship as an emotional bank account. Are you making deposits or are you making withdrawals? The more deposits you have, when it's time to have a conflict, it's not going to be that bad because you have a long leeway due to the deposits. But if the bank account is overdrawn, any small fight feels like a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Cheat code.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I think also I like, even for me, it's hard for me to use words of affirmation because I didn't receive that a lot as a child. So it's like, it's like I can think kind things. This makes me sound like a bitch. But it's hard for me to constantly affirm because I'm not used to that type of communication. And yes, I like hearing it and receiving it and it feels good, but sometimes it's hard for me to be like, to have a vocabulary even for that. Like, you're so, I love you. That's like, I love you. That's like, you don't know that I love you. Instead of like, you're so smart, or you're like, you're doing this, so you do really good at this. Or like, even with my child, I realize like, I'm just assuming that she knows that she's great. But I've had to really work on using my language and using my words to affirm and make people feel good, because it's just, it's not my, necessarily in my nature, because I haven't been raised that way. So it's like, communication is a big fucking deal. And I know, like, even for me, it's difficult. So for men, I can only imagine how difficult it is.
Yeah, I agree.
I know that you primarily have couple, like, marriage and couple clients. Mm-hmm. And they're primarily black couples.
Yes.
What would you say are, like, your top two issues that you get? Like, when people come to you, what are the top two or three things that are usually the prime issues at hand? In relationships.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
So my specialty is infidelity recovery. Mm. And the second most issue that nowadays that most couples are coming to me with is porn addiction after transitioning from being a parent, from being a couple to a parent.
Wait, okay. So the first one is
infidelity recovery. He or she cheated and they want to make their relationship work.
Are the men or the women primarily cheating more?
I get both. It's even.
It's even? Okay.
Yes.
And then the second one is porn addiction after post-baby.
Yes.
So they were addicted to porn before the baby?
No, they become addicted because
the woman isn't giving them any pussy.
Correct.
They develop a porn addiction and then now the wife is upset.
Yes, because they're not performing well in bed, right? They're not seeking intimacy at all, right? Why go and try to get laid when I could just go over there for 5 minutes, have millions of choices, and get that done with?
Yeah, men and women are different in that way.
And also the woman's body has changed and her needs have changed and the access he has to her has changed.
Correct.
So there's all these things.
She's tired. The kids are, you're not sleeping well. And
you're irritable. Your hormones are off.
Yeah.
You're expecting more from your partner and he doesn't really know maybe how to provide that.
Yes, or he don't want to burden you by asking you for intimacy when you just had a long day. Like, it's unfair for him to come and be like, hey, so let's have sex now, when you finally get the chance to sleep.
I remember the like this one particular moment after I gave birth, probably like 6-8 weeks after I gave birth, and I was like holding the baby and I was like on edge, and my baby daddy asked me for like some head, and I was like,
how dare you?
I literally wanted to shoot him. I never felt so violent against someone in my life.
Yeah, I remembered like trying to just, he would come home late and like come and like try to cuddle me. And I would just try to act like, I was like, if I don't make one move, if I just don't even breathe, he'll know like,
no.
And he'll get the picture. And I was like,
And that feeling can last up to 3 years.
It did. It did. I did. Yeah. I was like unhorny when I was pregnant. I was unhorny during pregnancy.
After
a pregnancy. And I mean, granted, there was a multiple of things happening. Obviously, I was a new mother and there were things happening in our relationship. Mm-hmm. But it was just like, I was concerned for my own self, though. Yeah. I was like, what's wrong with me? Like, because I would look at him and I'd be attracted to him, but I'd have no desire.
Did you breastfeed?
Mm-hmm. So but not for very long. Well, so, not very long. Yeah. Only 3 months.
Well, that was my thing. I breastfed for a long time, but in that moment when he asked me for something, I already felt like my body was not mine. I felt like I had just gone through this crazy process, and that now, and I felt like a cow. I was like, not like physically, but just like I was a giving mm-hmm. tree, like yeah. a giving well, and like him asking me for something else, I literally had this like doom moment of like, my whole existence now is to give someone. Me to other people.
Correct. And that's when infidelity tend to start.
That's like the worst time yep. of all time to ever cheat. Like yep. cheating on a bitch who just had a baby is like, I'm pretty sure there's domestic violence that's happened significantly.
Both of those.
Because of that.
Yeah. Because they're not having sex. He feels like his needs is not being met. She feels like as a mom, she's doing everything. And on his side, he feel like he's doing everything else. But no one is giving each other any recognition, any grace, and any positive affirmation, right? And what most men need to realize is that in order to continue that intimacy, you have to be able to help her move away from being a mom. If the child is around, she's in mom mode. She's not your woman.
Remove the kid.
But you know what I find too, which this has been like super appalling for me. Like, I mean, I'm sure everybody has this. Like when you're around people and they say things and you're like, wow, this is really how people think. But, you know, we went on this terrible fucking show one time and the men, I'll never forget. Like we mentioned that we wanted to be happy. We were like, well, we became single moms because we weren't happy. And they were like, you're not supposed to be.
Like, basically, you're supposed to suck it up. You made the choice. Suck it up.
Like, as a mother, our role is to be selfless and to sacrifice. And, like, you're not going to be happy all the time. And obviously, this is life. Like, happiness is not going to be all the time. But basically, like, live in it, sit in it, and, like, be happy. The term that was used was, like, were you getting beat? And like,
I remember that
if you're not being beat and you're being taken care of and like your basic needs are met, like food and water, like, and you've chosen to be a mother, then that's all you're like deserving. And I was trying to articulate like how crazy this statement was. And they were literally looking at me like I was the dumbest bitch alive. And it dawned on me like a lot of men feel this way. Mm-hmm. And even in comments, like this is a terrible reflection, but an accurate reflection of the world. All the comments on the Shade Room and other big like black outlets when they're talking about single mothers. Even we had a Rolling Stone article come out recently.
Congrats on that, by the way.
On Rolling Stone, and the title of the article is like, I don't know, like black, like making
bringing black motherhood to the mainstream.
Bringing black motherhood to the mainstream. In the opening sentence, it's something about celebrating single motherhood instead of it being this, you know, dire hardship to, you know, place where it's been, you know, significantly in media. If you're a black single mom, you're fucking struggling. You're on welfare. You're in a Tyler Perry movie getting beat. But like. Fuck, I'm high. What I was going to say. So Orlando showed me the tweets and some of the tweets were like, this is the reason, like, this is the problem with the black family. Like, women don't feel like they need the men. Women are celebrating single motherhood. That's the problem with the dynamic. And it was just like, it's so crazy how
you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. Right. Basically is what it is.
Right. Like women are really, we're really programmed to feel like we have to figure it out. We have to make the relationship work. We have to, like, and if you have a baby and then you have a, you know, you, and you doesn't work, it's on you. You fucked it up. And I just, like, there's no accountability on both sides. And I my question for you is, would you recommend people or couples that are thinking about having kids just, like, premarital therapy, have 100%. prenatal therapy too?
Well, like, you can prepare for a child, but let's be honest, until you're out there with them, you really don't know.
There's no way to know.
Under two. Highly ghetto. Do not recommend. Do not do it to yourself.
Really?
And everybody's asking me, are you going to have a third? I'm like, hell no. I finally got my wife back.
How old are your kids?
2.5, and the other one just turned one, like, last week.
Okay, damn.
Right? I finally is getting my wife back. We're finally going on a lustication next week.
What is a lustication?
Lustication.
You're just going to do lusty shit
just
on vacation.
Lusty shit 24/7. Fashion Nova cart looking crazy right now. 10 years in the game. You got to find ways to keep it funky and to keep it sexy. But again, what you said is very meaningful, because most men tend to benefit from being in a relationship compared to women. If a man is in a healthy, long-lasting relationship, his lifespan increased for up to 6 years. He's less likely to have a mental health issue or physical health issue.
With a partner. Right? He's more likely to not have those issues.
Yeah, he's less likely to have that because you guys, hey, go to the doctor. Hey, you got to eat
better. Because women are nurturing.
Because we're going to take care of you.
Correct.
Yeah.
We tend to do better financially, right? Because we're not out there going on dates, buying unnecessary things.
I can't wait for you to tell me what happens to women. We die faster. Dying fast.
This is a good fucking question.
I don't have the data on
that. Of course you don't.
I don't have that data.
Oh, yeah.
But the reason why most men tend to not favor women that are taking ownership of their lives and choosing not to be in unhealthy relationships is because it does not benefit them. They want you to continue to play that role. You should just be lucky to be with me. You should want to be with me no matter what's happening because we have a child together. Even though I'm not meeting your needs and I'm not showing up properly. It's called emotional intelligence. That's the number one red flag in all of dating. So the people that you're talking about, if they can even grab that concept, why even have a conversation with them? You're wasting your time.
It's literally like speaking to someone who doesn't speak the same language
exactly.
as you.
It was a waste of time, which is why if you watch that episode, I literally stopped talking.
I was really trying.
Mila was going. I was like, bitch, you know what? You better go for it, girl.
You know, and no brains were sparked because they weren't smart enough. But
when their wives was in there.
And she, I looked at her after, like, I'm embarrassed that, I'm sorry, guys, that your husband is participating in this way, and she looked sad.
Also, with infidelity, right? When the men cheat, most women tend to try to make it work.
Wait, most women try to make it work?
Yes, because society has taught women that you should fight for your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And if the relationship does not work, you're a single mom, you're taking care of the child primarily, mm-hmm. right? Financially, you're more responsible for that child as well, for the daily cost, right? So technically speaking, a woman loses a lot of privileges by being a single mom. For the men, if the woman cheats, they want out. Men are taught to replace whoever caused them the injury, not work through it. So you'll see a lot of men that will basically walk away from a relationship if the woman, to some degree, committed an infidelity. Right, because how dare you do that to me? It's my ego talking now. I cannot work through this because somebody has had access to you. So it's very interesting to see how society has conditioned both men and women to deal with the similar experience.
So I believe that people can work through infidelity. And you obviously know more about this than I do. I do believe that, though, like, when trust is broken, it is so difficult to get it back. I know for me in my relationship with my child's father, you know, when he cheated, I consciously made the choice. I said, okay, I'm choosing to stay here and I'm making the conscious choice to stay here and I'm not going to bring up the past. Like, I'm not going to do that.
It's impossible to do.
I did it, but not right. So I didn't bring up the past verbally. I didn't bring up the past verbally. It came out through other ways. Mm-hmm. And that's what I realized, is that, like, I'm still holding you to this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like, how do you, I guess, with your clients, like, where trust has been, like, drastically broken, like, what is, like, the foundation that has to happen, or, like, the steps that have to happen to kind of get that back? Because I feel like so many people experience this, and so many people have walked away from relationships that were probably really good for them, just based on, you know, an infidelity. They've decided to kind of uproot their entire life and mm-hmm. say, fuck this, when it really could have probably been worked through.
Yeah.
So what are the kind of, like, beginning steps to yeah. getting trust back on yeah. either side?
So,
and is it different for men and women?
It's the same concept, okay. right? And also, like, infidelity can breed a healthier, stronger relationship.
How?
Because it forces you to have the conversations Honest. That we were avoiding,
mm.
which led to the infidelity.
In the first place.
Right? But the first step is you got to be honest about everything, right? I get to sit there and ask you all the questions that I want to ask, because I have a narrative in my mind of what took place, and I need to make sense of it. And you have to be completely honest about every single thing that I'm asking you. So now everything is on the table, and then I can decide on whether or not I want to try or exit. The second thing that most men have the most issue with is realizing how much time it's going to take to build back that trust after they committed an infidelity. Be like, oh, it's a year, and you're still bringing that up. No, she's going to experience those PTSD symptoms for up to 5 years, right? And you got to input the proper boundaries. I want access to your phone. I want your location at all times. I want to be able to show up to your job at any time.
So this is healthy.
Yes. You committed a crime. Now you have to do the time. That's how I can learn to trust you again. I need evidence that I can trust you. So I'm going to look at different things to see whether or not my desire to trust you can be honored. I need you to switch out that car because you had that bitch in that car.
Honestly,
I'm not driving in that car.
I agree. Like, my PTSD is so fucking high. Like, yeah. I can have a fight. I can remember some shit.
No, I'm okay.
I can remember some shit in my head and get mad all over again. And I'm like, I know it's not healthy.
It takes 5 years.
I'm like, I can hold on to some shit. And I'm like, and I realize for me, it's been a defense mechanism. If I can relate to something that you've done to me that made me not trust you, then when you do something that makes me uncomfortable, I'm like, you know what? It makes me want to rid myself of you.
Mm-hmm.
It gives me an excuse to be like, I'm good. Like, in my past, in other relationships that I didn't think were going to be long, like, forever, I can build up the tallies. So then I'm like, all right, I'm done with you. But in this relationship with Orlando, when I know we're not leaving each other, it's really made me have to pull some shit out, because, fuck, like, I am irritated with you. You did do some shit that I didn't trust and I didn't fuck with, but I'm not leaving you. I don't want to leave you. And now it's making me deal with that more. Like, A, why can't I let shit go? B, if I really love and forgive someone, like, the forgiveness is hard for me. And it's like, I'm realizing, like, it's deeper than that. You know, like, it's easier for me if I feel like you could, like, it's easier for me to be, like, rid myself of people than to work on stuff.
Yeah.
And so being in a relationship that I know I have to work through stuff in, like, the bigger scheme of forever has been really challenging, but also really healing, because it's like, bitch, why are you so insecure right there? Do you believe he doesn't love you? Do you believe you can't trust him? Like, what are those things, and why is it easier for you to dispose of someone that you love rather than work through it? And it's because I've never seen, like, I've seen craziness, I've seen chaos, I've seen, like, my mom not forgive for probably a lot of fucked up things that were done in her, you know, to her and her relationship. But just, like, changing the dynamic of how you, like, want to respond to things innately is very difficult.
Anxious attachment, and he's a secure attachment. So when you're having these anxious thoughts, and when you want to run away, and when you're feeling uncomfortable, he can do a very good job of reminding you, hey, I ain't going nowhere. Yo, this is forever. Okay, you tripping right now. It's okay. Let's sit. Let's chill. Let's pick that back up at a later time. So we have to be very mindful of exactly how we are wired for relationships and who's the best partner to help us get into a secure attachment. You're not really healed. Well, you're never healed. You're always healing, right? But the final step is a relationship, because that person is a mirror of you. Can you find a way to make that relationship work? Like, did your relationship fail, or did you fail to make your relationship work? And that's when the work really begins.
Did your relationship fail, or did you fail to make your relationship work?
Correct.
I think you have to be careful with that too, especially saying that to women, because like we talked about before, it seems like it's constantly always our responsibility to make it work. And I see a lot of times with like friends and even with myself where you overextend when a person's not emotionally mature or intelligent, and you're trying and you're trying and you're trying, you're trying to do magic and witchcraft and prayer and anything in your fucking power to make this person understand you. But like, even back to what we were talking about women, the benefit of men and women's lives, mm-hmm. the inconclusive proof that we benefit from it. But it's like, even in my relationship now, like when I'm single, I feel comfortable. You know what I mean? Like, unless I get lonely one night, but like mostly like I get to move this way, I get to do this. Like, for a long time, I always said, like, a man has to come to me and be super clear. Like, I want you, I want to do this. Or else I'm not going to be the one to initiate it. Like, I don't feel like that's a woman's responsibility to be like, I want to be, like, obviously you can have needs and wants, like, I want to be married. But I'm not going to go, I don't feel like it's my responsibility to choose the man. I think he's supposed to choose me. And thankfully, I found a man who chose me, like, out loud. Or else I would have been single and mingling for the rest of my life.
I actually think that's the biggest mistake that most women make. They allow men to be the chooser, meaning I'm choosing you so you get to be with me, versus the woman having a say into who they end up with. And he did choose you, but you also chose him, right? So it was vice versa. But in the dating world, right, men tend to be the one that are multi-dating. They tend to be the one that decide when we're exclusive or whether or not we're in a relationship. What the shift that needs to take place is that women need to stop waiting to be chosen and start being the chooser themselves. That's why most dating books, right, are written for men. Hey, here's how you pick up women. Here's how you do this. The game was never given to women. So it's now that's changing, because we have apps where women are the one initiating and the one that are starting the interactions. That's empowering women to decide exactly to play a pivotal part into who they are actually dating. And for the record, women always make the first move.
I'm women, yes. I do always make the first move, yeah. Pretty much. I feel like I do the choosing a lot, but I don't know, like, if my choosing is always great. It doesn't mean that the choosing is great, you know? Just because you become a chooser doesn't mean that your choosing is always wonderful. Although, I mean, listen, I don't regret any relationship I've ever had. I feel like it's led me to where I'm at in this moment, and it'll continue to do that. But I feel like it does have to be an equal. It has to be he has to be doing the choosing. You have to be doing the choosing.
Correct.
Or else there's just an imbalance in your relationship. And granted, there will inevitably be imbalances in relationships, but I feel like that foundational part, like, has to be equal, at least for me, in order to feel like safe in ways. And that's where I feel like I've struggled to find that, or have like clear understanding of, did I do the choosing? I mean, I did kiss you first, but then you told me this, and then I said, oh my god, like he chose, like I'm special, like this, bitches are basic. But like, also, we just, it's not even basic, it's like we have this innate need as humans to feel connected or
wanted.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that leans heavier with women ways, because I feel like the man is a little bit more like impulse driven, ego driven, you know. Yeah. But
women want to be chosen though, and we will go great lengths to be chosen, even if then we get chosen and we're like, I don't even really want you.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And it's like, it's this weird thing. I don't know why we do that.
For a number of reasons, we also have to think back to how things started, how the culture was, how society was, right? These mindsets have been passed down from years to years, right? So now, like, the desire to be chosen speaks to the security of having a husband, having a home. But all of that is changing. It's 2022, 2023. Women are making way more money than men. Podcasters are killing the game right now. So you get to have a bigger say into what your relationship looks like and who you are with, and you have the freedom to exit whenever you feel you're not getting what you want. Because most women are not holding men accountable. Are you who you say you are? Are you going to do what you say you're going to do? What is your emotional intelligence level? What's your communication skills? Have you gone to therapy? Oh, no? And you want to get married? Nah, take your black ass there.
And shit, a lot of men, like, I think women also are choosing men that are not necessarily saying they're ready for marriage or ready for relationships. Like, that's step one. Like, are you even ready for, is that what you want? Because that's a whole choice in itself. I do want to be in a relationship. I want to be in a relationship with you. And my goal is that we'll be married. You know what I mean? Bitches be chasing, I mean, people be chasing people. But, like, I think the need to be married and to be, are like the value being related to your relationship status weighs much heavier. And for women, it's much more important. I know so many women who, like, that's, like, women, we obsess, you know? And it's just, like, sometimes you're chasing men that are not even, do they even want that? Are they ready for that? And it's, like, he could be a great guy, but this is not the time. He's not even thinking of that. Because there's 12 bitches on his line or whatever. So it has to really, you have to find a partner, I think, also that really is clear that that's what they want too.
And most couples need to start talking about monogamy. Are we actually monogamous or are we pursuing monogamy? Because a number of us are saying we're monogamous, but in reality, we're pursuing monogamy. We're trying to be monogamous. We're actually not monogamous.
So what are we
Does that make sense?
In my mind, it does. What is the other thing, though? Like, is it they're open? Are they, like, what are they? Like, non-monogamous?
So, to me, I think that a lot of couples want to be in a monogamous relationship. But when I'm saying pursuing monogamy is that eventually there's going to be times when there's a lack of intimacy, when there's other people that you're interested in, or when you make a mistake because you're not really monogamous, you're pursuing monogamy. It's to define exactly what does monogamy mean to you, right? Mm-hmm. Does that mean it's just you and I forever? If that's the case, are we able to say no to each other? Because if we're monogamous and we're in a relationship, I'm seeking intimacy from you and you're saying no, then what? What am I supposed to do? Because I have no other option. Right? Or the conversation that I've been having a lot lately is women telling me I'm monogamous, meaning that we are pursuing monogamy, but if one of us mess up, as long as it's not no woman is coming to me as a woman or no man is DMing me, it's okay. Just take care of home, and whatever else you do outside of home is done respectfully. Mm-hmm. So is monogamy working or is monogamy failing?
Are you saying be realistic with your expectations?
100%.
You're saying the reality that I'm going to meet somebody and we are going to 100% be monogamous in our entire rest of our lifetimes, that may be slim to none. The truth is there may be times you may not want to feel intimate. There'll be changes in our relationships, but let's how about this? Respect me. Let's be honest with each other. And then let's go from there. And maybe it looks different at different parts of time because we're going to evolve and things are going to change.
Correct.
But let's be realistic about our expectations. If you step out or if I step out and it's solely just get these other things I'm not getting right now, am I going to leave you? No. I mean, let's agree to that. Like, we have I do. I think people don't look at marriage enough in this light. It's like,
well, it's because it's very drawn to religion and these other, there's so many other factors involved into why people can't accept that.
But it's like, think about it. Like, me and you, we're going to be together forever. We're married, bitch. Sorry. Got it. You know, we're never getting divorced. It's not in our vocabulary. And like, we have to expect that we're going to disagree at times. We're going to get annoyed with each other. We're going to get like, she's going to find some other friends sometimes. Maybe she's going to go on vacation with somebody else. I can't dump her. You know what I mean? Like, it's
the ebbs and flow of relationships.
Yeah, like, and just
friendships or lovers.
But especially with lovers, because you're living with someone. And in the like bigger scheme of forever, you have to like, if you really want to be married, you're like, okay, this is like, let's be real. Obviously, I'm not trying to hurt you and vice versa, but, like, let's just be open to knowing that this is going to require work and neither of us are going to be perfect. And maybe like, no, I'm not going to sign up to go fuck somebody else. But like, if I'm on vacation and you're never going to fucking think, know about it or hear about it ever in life, are you going to fucking divorce me because I did it? No, you know what I mean? And I'm not saying like be a sneaky bitch, but I'm just like, there's a difference between being a sneaky bitch.
Life happens.
Yeah. Like, and it's just like, you can't leave people. And that's the thing I think with women, and like with women, and I've learned this in just having trial and error and in all the relationships I've ever been in, if we don't feel safe, I don't feel safe that I can fuck up. Like, women don't get the grace to fuck up or sleep with somebody. Now you're a slut. Now you're contaminated. Now you've let someone enter you. And it's like, the truth is like, bitches want to fuck sometimes too. And it's sometimes, and I can do it sometimes not attached to emotion, but the thought that someone could, like, that someone will leave me. I've never really felt safe that someone will not leave me if I fuck up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because, but knowing that on the vice versa,
I would,
mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. So I think it's this, like, men have to make women feel safe.
Can you think of one person that you know who has been faithful for over 10 years?
Yes.
Who? Don't say your parents.
Not them.
Not my parents. Okay. Yeah, I mean, hold on. I don't know what they do, okay? I don't get in their business.
Who do you know that has been faithful in a relationship for over 10 years?
One of my closest friends.
He's a male or a female?
Female.
Okay. Do you know any male that has been faithful for over 10 years?
Can you call on the show if you're a man?
I'm trying to think if I know anybody that's been together for 10 years. I'm trying to think, like, I don't know what her partner's done, you know, but...
No. It's slim to none, right?
No, I don't.
Hence why we need to start having these conversations.
Are you and your wife in an open relationship?
No, we're monogamous.
You're monogamous or non-monogamous?
Monogamous.
Monogamous, yes. Got it. Okay.
We're in the pursuit of monogamy. To the best of our abilities. Currently, we're doing a great job.
So basically, you're monogamous, but on the pursuit of monogamous, meaning like, yeah, I get what you mean by that.
That's the goal. You're always trying for that.
Okay. Yes. Like, it's a daily decision.
I'm PM.
To choosing to be
monogamous. I don't know who you are, but we're PM.
Right? Like, the,
on the pursuit of monogamy.
The amount of calls I get, the amount of emails I get about infidelity, at some point I had to ask myself,
like, is it
can
realistic?
We be monogamous?
Right.
Well,
right,
it's
right,
just
right.
Kind of, it really is a testament to like our like genetic makeup of human design and what we are supposed to do instinctually and how we resist it.
You said
but
it,
this,
not
but
me.
This is where, like biology.
You said it, not me.
How we resist it in all ways.
Well, I was thinking that like, are men and women just fucking different? And you know, I don't want to say that, you guys. You know, I don't want to say it.
You have a female audience.
Women are just different.
Why don't you like that?
Because, I mean, we are different, but like in the sense of like,
we're supposed to be.
We are different, but you know, men always use it against you. Like, I'm supposed to be fucking, not you. You know, that type of thing.
Well, that's dumb.
That's dumb. but in ways, like, I don't know. Like,
I think we are different, and that's, we have to be.
Yeah.
We have to be. Why would we want to be the same?
No, we can't.
That would be so boring. And also, we would never, there'd be no children. You have a fucking dick, and I do not.
Oh,
that right there is the biggest difference.
Right, that's
like,
true.
Like, that automatically, you are genetically pre-designed to have different impulses than I have, period. You know?
This episode might be the power of relationships. the power of genetics.
I do have a solution. Mm. We need to move away from the term relationships. Because that comes with a set of roles, a set of expectations that society has fed us. Instead, we need to move toward partnerships. Because partnerships are negotiated, right? And it has a time frame. So when one thing shifts, we can renegotiate.
Our terms. Mm.
Correct. So therefore, it's two people agreeing.
Coexist. On
exactly. Versus we have disagreement of relationships, but there's a bunch of things happening that I never agreed to. And that's where the betrayal comes in. Mm-hmm. That's where the trauma comes in. But if it's a partnership, right, we sit down, we agree for the next 3 months, this is what our partnership is going to look like. The next 2 years, the next 3 years, whatever the case is. And when something shifts that, like children, new jobs, new location, long distance, age, medical issues, whatever it is, we get a chance to restructure that partnership.
Yeah, I was having this conversation with my partner, and I was telling him that I want us to be such good friends that like betrayals don't feel like betrayals. You know what I mean? Like there's a level of like friendship of like, I love you whether or not this, like this happened or that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like, and I think the foundation of even being able to even like start that feeling is friendship. You have to have that with, like, you have to be my friend.
Yes.
I think a lot of people don't even like their partners.
Oh, 100%.
They just want their love. They don't give a fuck if they're their friends. They don't actually want to be their friend at all. They're like, just show me that you love me. That's show up COVID for me. Did. Be there for me.
That's what COVID did.
And it's like, oh, do shit. You even like me? Like, do we even have the same interests at all? Like, do you even know anything about me, actually? Like, why do you actually like me?
Yeah. Friendship tends to be the first thing that goes in long-term relationships.
Well, and I think that's where people get confused, is just because you've been together for a long time does not mean that friends. You're friends.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, I've known him for, like, 10 years. You know, we are. No, nigga, you're not.
That don't mean shit.
Because if there was another him walking around the street, you wouldn't be, like, no, it wouldn't be your shit.
Yeah.
And but you know, it takes a level of, like, I don't know, therapy to kind of really be able to realize that in relationships. Like, what is your how many people would you say, like, get divorced, like, go to therapy? Like, do you think it's higher chance that people stay together going to therapy, or that they kind of, like, therapize themselves into
understanding?
Yeah. So I do think that more people get divorced that don't go to therapy, and the number is 100,000 couples in America alone get divorced with no therapeutic intervention. And couples tend to wait 6 years too late before going to therapy. They're playing defense, not offense. Mm-hmm. They wait until infidelity happens, until porn addiction happens, until lack of intimacy happens prior to going and getting the tools.
Well, I think that's too, like, you look at it as something fun. Like, you get to go and, like, do this chat thing with your partner, you know, yeah, and get to know each other and, like, really, like, break down your relationship. And, like, when, because that's what I think of when you say offense, like, instead of, you know, going, obviously going to therapy when there's something wrong. What if you went to therapy just to, like, hang as out with date. Your partner and have, like, another person, like, kind of just
mm-hmm.
really break down and make you really get thoughtful about, you know, why you love each other.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I do believe, I think, like, therapy while dating is healthy. I think therapy before marriage is super necessary, and I intend on doing that.
Should be required.
That. Required. I mean, and you know, in the church, they require
it. I just know, just with me and Mila, like, talking is deeply therapeutic. Deeply therapeutic, you know?
We've grown exponentially simply because we started a podcast. We've become much more self-aware humans mm-hmm. simply because we decided to start a weekly podcast. I feel like more comfortable talking about my feelings here more than anywhere, because it's just this safe space we've created. And, like, and it's made me want to explore other realms of therapy, and then realize that, like, therapy is usually the most basic tools. It's literally our words, mm-hmm. our communication, like, even just our retreat, like, thinking about even in our workshop, thinking about how it was developed, just, like, this worked for me because I went to Mexico once on a whim and then took some acid and it, like, unleashed some shit I didn't know was there. And I screamed for 8 minutes and then I felt a release that I've never felt in my life. You know what I mean? It's like, the most basic things, like screaming, release of sound, with even without words, you guys, heavy gut belly fucking laughing, you know what I mean? Crying, laughing, like doing cartwheels. Like, there are some very basic shit that, like, there's some very basic.
It's basically what children do.
It
basically.
Is.
It's literally what kids do. It's they, like, scream when they want. They do fucking cartwheels.
Saying
they
what, saying however you feel. I don't like it.
I'm not eating
I don't
that.
Want it. No.
Don't touch me, daddy. I'm not.
Why are you crying?
I don't want mommy.
Because you did this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm uncomfortable. Yeah, it's true.
And I just, like, yeah, like, all the therapy, all the time. And I'm so happy that we're on this journey together and we get to talk to people like you, Mac, and have people like you in the community, because it just makes me really think now, like, when we have other babies, maybe in the future, like, you know, we could think, hey, let's go to therapy before we have this baby. Hey, like, I'm going to go on a fucking 3 month sabbatical after I have a baby because I got to find myself. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you guys can fly out twice. But, you know, like, normalizing things and creating, like, real situations. Like, now we know better and that we can, like, have these tools. It's just, I'm grateful that
podcasting has made me more in tune with like what's like my wellness and what's going to make it like make me heal and grow and be in a relationship and like actually be actively aware of the things that I do that are toxic and that I can be toxic and why and where that shit comes from.
And if you think about it, really just started with like saying, hi, my name is Erica. Like just talking, just one word sprouted into all these different experiences that you've had that have been therapy for you. Like,
hours of audio, hours
but that
of-
brought you to these other things that, you know, and that's why therapy in itself and talking I think is so important. And I think if we all just did it more often, we would be in a much better place and position.
And you would find your people and finding your people and communicating with them is in itself healing, but you have to first be honest and then be honest out loud in order to find those people. Like Erica and I found each other because one day we were like, hey bitch, I'm lonely and sad. Aww. You know, like, and that sparked so fucking much. The ability to be honest is just really the medicine. That is the therapy. Like the communication is literally the therapy. You just have to be willing to do it. And it seems hard sometimes. I understand that the simplest thing can be so difficult, but it's deeply healing. Like we are given this tool. Utilize that shit.
Yeah.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Her voice. Anyway.
We just had a moment.
I agree. I was thinking all these things. I was like, wow, she's so beautiful. Yes, she's so right. What? Damn, I need to call my therapist. Yeah, like, fuck, how am I getting me and my man in therapy? We need to be on the offense. Am I going to call Mac? Is he going to be like, he's too young?
I get that a lot.
I was wondering about, well, he'll ask. My man doesn't give a fuck.
I'll tell him your date of birth.
He's a Scorpio like me. But what is that? I was going to ask you, as a therapist who's 30, like with black men, I feel like there's a number of reasons why they're not going to go. And one of them is for sure going to be, oh, that nigga's 30. No, I don't know. Young nigga, tell me what to do.
What could you teach me?
What?
How long you've been married for?
Yeah.
And I've even had men ask me, are you Christian? Do you believe in God? Like, how does that help the therapeutic process?
Well, I mean, I think there's levels of like, as a therapist, I'm sure you have to be super, what's the word?
Ethical.
Ethical, but also non-biased.
Yeah.
And like as balanced as you possibly can in ways, you know? So I think there is a level of almost like disconnect you have to have with a therapist, right? Because I feel like if I was a therapist, like I'd like really feel for all my clients. I'd be so concerned. But like, we need to start a GoFundMe for her. She's not okay. Like we're going to like try to like save each one.
I couldn't do it.
So you have to disconnect
in ways too.
Yeah. And that's why there's certain population I would not work with. Mm. Like I have daughters. Mm. I would not work with kids that have been sexually abused. Mm.
It's too hard
because I will find whoever that was, and there's
you know
there's,
your boundaries within therapy. Yeah, your practice.
There's certain things that I can't take on. Too much trauma. Like I will lay in my office on the floor with the lights closed for hours. My wife would walk in like it was that bad. I'm like, you don't even know.
Damn. Yeah.
Right. So that's why like couples I enjoy because they want to be together. They just don't know how to. I know how to, right? So I can use my artistry to deliver the knowledge and the exercise in a way that makes it very practical for you to get the skills so you can eventually move on. I see couples for about 6 months, no more than that.
Is your goal as a therapist to let them come to their own conclusion or to heal their relationship?
So my goal... My job is to give you the skills that you need to make your relationship work if that's what you want, right? So people come to me because they want to make their relationship work. They can't communicate. Their friendship is bad. There's too much fighting. They're not having sex. They're not having fun. It's just a lot of things that are going wrong. Mm. So I get to come in and fix the puzzle to some degree, but also teach you on how to do it yourself. So the puzzle never gets broken again, because now you get to decide, do I allow the puzzle to be broken or can I actively fix it? Because you have the skills and knowledge. Mm. That's up to you.
Got it.
It's fun. I have stories for days. No session is alike.
I used to think I wanted to be a therapist, and then in college I started the major of psychology, and it was so intense. I was like, this is too much.
I love
psychology. I think I had to get past, no, there was a lot of reading before you got to the good shit.
I love reading.
It was a lot of like brain science stuff, and I was like, yes. I'm not nerdy enough for this. Let's get to the talk part.
Since you brought that up, and I am a nerd, I love learning, right? Let's talk about the role that brain plays into infidelity, right?
The brain?
Yes.
Does something release? Is it maybe a hormone that
serotonin sex?
No, it's the other one. It's the hormone that is like
dopamine.
Dopamine. Oh, that's that like reward.
Correct.
So then it becomes like a almost like an addiction, not to the actually like to the action and not to the intimacy of it.
Correct, which is true. But the way that I was going is that our brain requires novelty. So eventually, if you're exposed to the same thing, it no longer have the same impact on you as it once did.
Like new pussies always feels better because it's new and it's shiny and you've had this. Correct. Same. What the fuck are you over there eyeing about? You shut the fuck up.
So that plays a lot of role in infidelity.
So does new dick.
That too, right? 80-20.
But it's got to be, I got to source it. I got to pick it out. We got to get a test for it. We got to take a picture. We got to see first.
Test run.
Then.
Because then ours is just fucking disappointed.
I feel like pussy has a higher chance of being good than dick does.
It's a 99.9% chance.
The pussy's going to be good. Fine. Yeah. Right. The dick.
It's not. It's low chances.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to be a sizist. People only size the circumference like they did that one time.
That's true. 77%.
It is for me.
77% of women do not orgasm from penetration, right?
I know.
So why would a woman want to cheat knowing that more than likely she's not going to have an orgasm? A men's orgasm is guaranteed,
right?
In most cases.
Yeah.
It's another thing. It's a setup. Different. It is. God,
see, I told you we're different. We have to be different.
It's a fucking setup. My grandmother confirmed it's a setup.
Oh, my God.
Usually we ask our guests an affirmation. Did you bring an affirmation for us today, Matt? Did we tell you? Did we warn you about
this? I did not bring an affirmation. I do have one. I think, therefore I am.
I think, therefore I am.
Shakespeare.
I
might be wrong. Boo.
I think before I do. No, you're right. I am. Well, I'm high. Jesus Christ.
I was like, therefore I do.
That doesn't make any sense. That makes no sense at all.
It's just the Shakespeare manifesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You think it's true.
Yeah.
You're already there. Tarot time?
Tarot time. I knew I was remembering something. So today you pulled a card. What card did you pull, my dear?
The Magician.
The Magician.
It sounds fitting.
It does. Right. I was like, wow.
The Magician.
Put some magic on you.
I think, therefore I am. It's upright, it's manifestation, resourcefulness, power, inspired action. As a master manifester, the Magician brings the tools, resources, and energy you need to make your dreams come true. Seriously, everything you need right now is at your fingertips. You have the spiritual fire, physical earth, mental air, and emotional water resources to manifest your desires. And when you combine them with the energy of the spiritual and earthly realms, you will become a manifestation powerhouse.
Let's go. Mm.
The key is to bring these tools together synergistically. To that, the impact of what you create is greater than the separate parts. This is alchemy at its best. Now is the perfect time to move forward on an idea that you recently conceived. The seed of potential has sprouted, and you are being called to take action and bring your intention to fruition. The skills, knowledge, and capabilities you have gathered along your life path have led you to where you are now, and whether or not you know it, you are ready to turn ideas into reality.
That's very fitting.
Love that.
It's very fitting.
All the balance.
I'm ready. Let's go.
Let's go.
Manifest some shit.
Macafest.
Maybe, you know what? We need to add Mac to our secret male retreat that we're not curating/curating called Primal.
We have a secret male trick or treat that we're not secret, top secret.
We were in a kitchen full of men, and we were talking about therapy, and they were like, "We don't like, we need like, we want healing, but it's not the type of healing y'all bitches do. Like, we need basketball. Like, we did a retreat. Ooh. What would a male retreat look like?" And I was like,
"Some wrestling.
I was like, you'd like do some wrestling, yeah, like
some ATVs,
like, do yeah. some like act like chopping of wood
and like yes. yelling at hunting. People. Fuck you." Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hunting. Yeah, punching.
I'm down for that.
Okay,
let's make
it
happen.
We got our fourth member.
Yes,
I told you I was on the Good Vibe retreat call, and the man was in the background. She was like, "I know this is for the ladies, and I'ma come, but I was just wondering, are y'all gonna do something for the husbands? Because my husband, he was like, "Hey, y'all." She was like, "Is Orlando there?" I was like, "He's here." She's like, "Hi." I'm like, "Okay, we got the message. Primal."
Coming to a retreat near you for the men's. I can't wait to see the visuals for that. It's going to be Orlando, like, shirtless, like, in the, walking through, like, the jungle or something.
We're going to curate it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Don't worry, guys. It's going to look really... Guys are going to love it.
Nice.
Well, I'm sorry.
Well, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. Guys, I love your platforms. My wife is an avid fan.
Oh, thank you.
Right, hi, wifey.
Thank you again. I knew that you guys were going to get a conversation out of me that I haven't done before. So that's why I was very excited. Because I get to talk about things that I usually don't get to talk about as much. So I thank you guys for that.
Well, that makes me happy. I'm glad. I'm glad that we are able to share space. I'm glad that you're bringing therapy to Black people. And I have a question. Is there a resource that, like, where is there a resource for people that, like, obviously you're a resource, but, like, is there an actual resource, too, of all of the Black therapists in the U.S.?
Mm-hmm. Blackmenheal.com.
Oh,
okay. We have Black Girls Therapy, Black Men Therapy.
Okay, because I feel like a lot of people don't know where to go, you mm-hmm. know, and obviously, like, there's only 1%, like, like, you can't therapize everyone.
True that. Tell them that, please.
But where can the people find you, Mac?
You can find me on Instagram as talktomac_therapist, the number 2, Mac, M-A-C, _therapist. You could check out my new podcast with my boy, Menage of Mind. And for everything regarding therapy and my services, you could find me at therapiesforeveryone.org.
Gotcha.
Mac also has a really cool relationship card deck that we like to play and ask each other questions that yes. gets you really deep with your partner. So that's cool. Always a fun date night at home too.
Mm-hmm. Cool. What's it called?
Love Unlocked. It's about the 5 concepts that most couples tend to argue about. So the questions are curated to help them talk about these things so it doesn't turn into an argument. Play offense, not defense. Also worth 2 years of therapy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Get the cards.
We out here, man.
Hey, I love that. 2 years of therapy.
Smart man. Make it a game. Here, babe, we're not even going.
Look.
Now I'm going to zoom him.
We're going to play that game again.
You guys know where to find us. Please, if you've been thinking about it, join us in Costa Rica, bitch. It's about to be really cold next year, and you're going to wish you were in the sun with your titties out and your bathing suit on and you're barefoot.
You're really going to be mad when you see these pictures and these videos, girl.
Screaming in the jungle, doing cartwheels with us. There's a couple of slots left, so if you've been thinking about it, come with us to Costa Rica in February 2023.
Yes, the link is in this episode description. Make sure you check out our merch. It's the holidays. I hope you guys are happy, healthy, prioritizing yourself, and buying our merch. As you can see, Mila modeling it. It's so cute. The back is so cute. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Show a little ass. Show a little ass with people. Thank you. Okay. Make sure you follow our YouTube channel so that you can see all this amazing content of our outfits and Jamila shaking ass. And everything's in this episode description because I'm high. So bye. I love you.